Hi all, thank you very much for your patience. My name is Ilanka Dunnan. My day job is that I make computer games at St. Louis. Our website's play.net. And one of my part-time obsessions is that I crack codes, especially the historical stuff, the famous unsolved codes. And last month, one of the codes that I work on, which is the crypto sculpture at CIA headquarters, was actually featured on a PBS program, Nova Science Now. And they flew me out to Washington, D.C., and they interviewed me, and they came up with a really good segment. So I'd like to show that video here. How many people here have already seen the segment? Okay. So you get to watch it again. No charge. So it's 12 minutes long, and then after the segment, I'm going to go into more detail on things. And I'll talk about, there's a couple mistakes in the segment, so I'll go over those. But overall, it's very, very good. It is targeted a little bit more towards a younger audience, so just be prepared for that. And I figure we'll start with that, and then we'll go on from there. All right. And sound is going to work, right?
I hope you got it.
Okay. So let's go on to the next one. So, sometimes in this talk, famous unsolved codes, I go over different unsolved codes, historical. For this talk, because of the Nova segment that was just on last month, I'm pretty much going to focus on cryptos. Though, I'm also going to try and leave a lot of time for questions and answers, so if anyone has a question about some other code, feel free to bring it up. I'll also be at the Hacking 201 panel with beer, with alcohol, so if anyone wants... And I have got such an outfit for that talk. Oh my God. Even better than Al's. So I'm going to go over more details about what the first three parts of crypto say. I'll talk a little bit about part four and some of the speculations there. I'll talk about how cryptos is linking to the Da Vinci Code, and I'll also give you some pictures of other artwork that Sanborn has done. How many people here have been to my cryptos talk before? I'm just checking. Okay, so that kind of gives me an idea here. So this is this crypto sculpture, what all the fuss is about 12 feet tall, about 20 feet long. It's got four metallic panels there with letters that are cut directly through the panels, so you're actually seeing the other side there. You can see the trees on the other side of the sculpture. And I've had the opportunity to visit Cryptos once, and I was able to do some rubbings of it while I was there. So each of these rubbings was done on a standard 8.5 by 11 piece of paper, so that gives you an idea of the size of the letters. And the four panels, two of the panels are what's called a visionaire table. That's a type of crypto system, and I'll go into more details on that. And there's a keyword that builds a cipher alphabet. The keyword for part one is two keywords. One is the word cryptos. The other is the word palimpsest. Then for part two, the keywords are cryptos and abscissa. Part three uses a different system, but we think that cryptos is also a key for that, so chances are pretty good that cryptos may also be a key for part four, but that's getting into speculation. The sculpture was installed in 1990. The first person to publicly solve the first three parts was Jim Galogli, who solved the first three parts in 1999, and it made international news. Then after his announcement, the CIA came out and said, well, we have someone that solved those three parts too, but a year earlier in 1998, and we just announced it internally, and that was David Stein. And then after the CIA made their announcement, then the NSA came up, National Security, and said, well, we have people that solved it too, but we're not going to tell you who, and we're not going to tell you when. which is very NSA. The joke in Washington, D.C. is that NSA stands for no such agency. So, and officially, they're really the code-breaking arm of the government. However, I have done other research, and the NSA very kindly, they did open their museum to me when I was out giving a talk at the NSA Crypto Symposium. By the way, once every 2 years, NSA does host a Cryptologic History Symposium. It is open to the public if you want to go. This is one of the years that they're doing it. I think it's going to be in November. And it's very academic based, so some of the stuff is very dry, but they do go over the latest research on things like purple, and like if there were messages that we didn't crack in those wars, but they have been cracked since, and this is when they're presenting, okay, now we know what it said. So there's some interesting stuff that comes up. I'm definitely going to be going to that. So while I was researching in the museum, I did learn the names of some of the people that were on the NSA team, and what happened was the head of the CIA went to the head of the NSA and said, okay, you guys think you're so hot, let's see you crack cryptos, which is sitting here in the middle of CIA. And the NSA did put together a team. They sicked the government computers on it. This was in 1992. And they solved the first three parts of cryptos. They could not solve part four either. And so then they turned the project off, I think in January of 1993, sent a memo to the CIA. So I know that there were four people on the team, and that two of the people on the team were Ken Miller and Dennis McDaniels. And some of them are still continuing to work on it, kind of on a hobbyist basis. I am in email communication with a few people from the agencies, which is how I know that no one inside the government has cracked cryptos yet, because if it was cracked, someone would have told me. They would have come up and nudged me or something. But no, there are people who are actively angry in the government agencies that part four has not been solved yet. They take it personally. Okay. All right, I basically told you that. Okay, so as I was researching Kryptos, one of the things I found is that after James Sanborn made Kryptos, which was dedicated in fall of 1990, he made another piece, which he called the Untitled Kryptos piece, which he sold to a private collector. And I tracked down the current location of that one. It's in the garden of a dot-com millionaire in Los Angeles. And on this Untitled Kryptos piece, it has two sides here. And on one side, it has all of the text of Kryptos repeated over and over. And on the other side, it's encrypted Russian text. And we cracked this code in 2003, and it came out to be extracts of classified KGB documents. So, and this is a slightly larger version of the Untitled Kryptos piece. This is currently at the Hirshhorn Museum, which is what you saw in the PBS segment. So again, on one side we have the CIA Kryptos text, and on the other side we have encrypted Russian text. And the original title for this, it's currently called Antipodes, but the original title for it was Covert Balance. And that was what the artist was trying to portray, was the Russian codes against the American codes. So the Russian text is also on this other sculpture of Sanborn's, which is called the Cyrillic Projector. This was originally used in his gallery shows in the early 1990s, and it's currently at the University of North Carolina in Charlotte, in between the Friday and the Fretwell buildings. So we have the Russian text, the lights on in the middle of it, and it beams encrypted text all around the courtyard here. And this was the one that we cracked in 2003. I didn't do it alone. It was a team, but I was definitely one of the organizers of the teams. And Randall Bolig was one of the guys who, you can raise your hand, he's the one that took the first pictures of it that really got us started on it. And some other discoveries about it have been made by John Wilson, who's sitting over here in the white shirt, so I'll be going over those as well. It's definitely, Dragon Con has definitely been a big bonus here in cracking some of these codes. So. Now, there are differences between the Untitled piece and the Kryptos sculpture. One of them is that the Untitled Kryptos piece, instead of the four panels, it's more in a vertical sense. So we have two of the panels are here, and we have these diagonals. Those are the visionaire tableau. Then the ciphertext starts here. Now, on the Untitled piece, we have the NDR line is the first part. However, on Kryptos, this is the beginning of part three. So if the CI version of the sculpture, the orders are 1, 2, 3, and 4. On the Antipodes, it's 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, and then I think it chops partway through 4. Another difference, this is one of the things that I discovered when I went to the home of the dot-com guy, is right around here, there are two dots. And these are only on the Untitled piece in Antipodes. These are not on the CIA version of the sculpture. So that was actually a mistake in the Nova segment. They showed me pointing at it, and they said the punctuation is the same. But no, I was pointing at it and saying the punctuation isn't the same, and then they mis-edited it. But I've gone to Sanborn, I've asked him about these dots, and he really hasn't given any coherent answer. In fact, I'm not even sure he remembers entirely. I mean, this is a puzzle he designed 15 years ago. And anyone who's designed a game, you know, if you design something or if you write a piece of code and then you don't look at it for 15 years and then you try and go back and read it and you didn't comment it, it's going to be tough. So if the dots were on Kryptos, they would be right around here, I think. So the visionaire table, these two plates, and here we can see these diagonals. You see the J's and the L's and the M's. We also have these reference alphabets, which is a regular non-cipher alphabet, A through Z here and A through Z there, and then these spaces at top and bottom, which may be counted or may not, we don't know. So making a cipher alphabet, it's a simple way of sending an encoded message where you can scramble a standard 26-letter alphabet, but you scramble it via a very simple method. And the simplest is to just pick a keyword in this case Kryptos, and then you end up with something that's still 26 letters, but it's slightly moved around. Here's a quick animation. So we're taking the letters of the key out, you put them at the left, and then you leave the rest of the letters all mushed up at the, on the right-hand side. So you still end up with 26 letters. That's a cipher alphabet with a key of Kryptos. Now imagine if you take those cipher alphabets and then you line them up differently. In this case, we can read the word Kryptos along the top, and imagine that we're going to read another key down the left-hand margin. In this case, that key is going to be the word palimpsest. So you see, it's a fairly simple way of making this grid, which effectively looks like scrambled text. But if you know what the keys are, then you can recreate that grid very rapidly. And that's exactly the method that was used for parts 1 and 2 in Kryptos. Part 1 starts here, and this was another mistake in the PBS segment. For some reason, that they're saying this is part 1, part 2, part 3. They had their lines all mixed up. But part 1 is the top two lines of the sculpture here. And you can see part 1 starts, instead of the NDR line, it starts with EMUFPHZ. That's the beginning of part 1. And the way it works here, again, we have the EMUFPHZ, and we have that grid we made where we have Kryptos and Palimpsest. And then you take the EMUFP and you put each letter on a different line. EMUFP. So an E becomes a B, an M becomes an E, U becomes a T, F becomes a W, and so forth. EMUFPHZ becomes BETWEN, between. And you continue that way and you keep repeating the grid and you can encipher or decipher the entire message. So part one, there's the ciphertext. Using the keys of Kryptos and Palimpsest. Comes out to say, between subtle shading and the absence of light lies the nuance of illusion. Now it says occlusion there, there's a Q there. There's no such word as occlusion. It's a typo on the sculpture. Now I've talked to Sanborn about it and I've said, was it just an accident? And he says, no, it's deliberate, but it's not what it is that's so important, it's where it is. It's the orientation or the positioning. Part two. What? The Q is, I'm not sure, John, can we see it on this slide? I think it's more over towards the right-hand side of the scale. Yeah, I think it's gonna be right about there. Maybe a little further over. In fact, if we go to here, it's here. Where that K is, that's what. And that's something interesting, is that whatever letter was there that would have resulted in an L, somebody put a K there, which is what resulted in a Q. And then there's a spelling error also in part two, where someone put an R there to generate it. So K, R, and it's Kryptos. So we know that Kryptos is keys for parts one and two, so it may be some sort of an indication of the masking technique. I don't know. We have lots and lots of guesswork here. So part two starts at the beginning of part three, or at the beginning of line three, goes all the way down to the bottom of this plate. Here's the ciphertext, and there's a couple question marks in there which do line up with questions that are in the text. And now Sanborn did have a real mistake. He contacted me last year to say that there was one letter that he had taken out, and that's down here where this S is. And he said that when he created the sculpture, he had removed that letter for aesthetic reasons. Now, what it should have done when he removed it, because of the type of cipher system here, it should have just turned whatever these letters, it should have just turned it into garbage text. But by sheer chance, it turned it into something that looked like English, and we thought it said ID by Rhodes. Now Sanborn says that he didn't notice that that's what happened. When people were announcing the answer in 1999 and 2000, he thought that what they were saying is they'd read off the entire answer to part two, and then they said ID by Rhodes. He didn't realize they thought it was the answer. He said he thought that they were saying that they'd used a Rhodes technique in order to solve part two. But when I think when he was looking through my book and I had the answer to part two and I said, here's the answer for ID by Rhodes, and he was like, oops. And he called me up and he said, no, there's a mistake. That's not what it's supposed to say. And then we had a big flurry of activity and we looked at different things, and I called him back and said, okay, is it supposed to say this instead? And he said, yes. And so I said, okay, I'm gonna write a press release. And I wrote a press, and again, international news, it was slash dotted, it was the number one news story on America Online, it was something. The world was very excited that there was a mistake in Kryptos. So that was fun to watch. So this one uses the exact same method as part one, that double keyword visionaire technique, but instead of the keys of Kryptos and Palimpsest, it uses Kryptos and Abscissa. And it comes out to say, it was totally invisible. How's that possible? They used the Earth's magnetic field, X. The information was gathered and transmitted underground to an unknown location, X. Does Langley know about this? They should. It's buried out there somewhere, X. Who knows the exact location? Only WW. This was his last message, X. 38 degrees, 57 minutes, 6.5 seconds north, 77 degrees, 8 minutes, 44 seconds west, ID by Rose. But not ID by Rose, what it should have said was X, layer 2. And also we have this spelling error up here, underground. Again, right about there, an R was put in the ciphertext, which turned into a U and generated that spelling error. And Sanborn said the same thing there, that it was deliberate, but it wasn't what it was that was so important as where it was. However, Sanborn is also occasionally misdirecting us, so maybe it really was a mistake. We don't know. We have to keep all different possibilities in mind. Part 3 starts here at the top of this plate, goes all the way down to about here. And notice also that there's some letters here that are out of alignment. They're the only letters that are out of alignment like that on the sculpture. When I showed this slide to Sanborn, he pointed at those and said, has anyone figured anything out about those? It's important. Don't know what that means. But we have solved part 3, but even having solved it, we're not certain. We have some theories, maybe it's binary. There's different things it could be, but we're not certain. And this is the ciphertext for part 3. This is what it says on the sculpture. And those of you that have some crypto experience, or even not, may notice that the ciphertext for this looks a little bit different than the ciphertext for parts 1 and 2. Anybody see anything different? A lot of vowels, that's exactly it. This has the most common letter here in that ciphertext is the letter E, which is the most commonly used letter in the English alphabet. So what we have here is instead of the system that was used for the first two parts, which was effectively a substitution system, specifically a Visionaire polyalphabetic substitution system, this is all the letters are English, they're there, they're just scrambled via a very specific technique. And this was one technique that I came up with for solving it, which is where if you take it all and you put it into a nice rectangle, and you start here at the center at the S, and then you read down, you count four columns down, 1, 2, 3, 4, you get to an L, another 4, you get to an O, you get to a W, then an L, and a Y. So we have S, L, O, W, L, Y, slowly. And you can keep pulling that, and you can get the entire text to come out like that, just zipping it out. So the plain text is, slowly, desperately slowly, the remains of passage debris that encumbered the lower part of the doorway was removed. With trembling hands, I made a tiny breach in the upper left-hand corner, and then, widening the hole a little, I inserted the candle and peered in. The hot air escaping from the chamber caused the flame to flicker, but presently details of the room within emerged from the mist. X. Can you see anything? Q. So the word desperately here is another typo, and I think this is just because Sanborn was a bad speller. I don't think this means anything. The X and the Q are interesting. The fact that this ends with a question mark is interesting. This is why we say part 4 is either 97 or 98 characters, because there's a question mark between parts 3 and 4. And we don't know if the question is the end of part 3 or the beginning of part 4. Sanborn at one point said, when he looked at this and we asked him, why the X, why the Q? And he says, well, maybe he meant them as some sort of quotation marks. A kind of punctuation system, but we don't know. This is an extract from the diary of Howard Carter, the archaeologist, on November 26, 1922, the day he discovered King Tut's tomb. And here's part 4 with that question mark at the beginning. Can't tell you what it says. We don't know. A lot of work has been gone into it, but it's very short, and that's probably the main reason that it hasn't been solved. Generally, when cryptographers are cracking codes, they generally have a large amount of ciphertext to work with. And with something that's basically the equivalent of one sentence, there isn't enough there to really find those patterns. It's also possible that there's something on CIA grounds. I mean, the Cryptos was never designed as a public challenge. It was designed as a challenge to the employees of the CIA. So there may be a clue somewhere. Sanborn did make other pieces that are around the CIA complex. Maybe there's a clue on one of those. We've been trying very hard to get detailed pictures of all of them. It's possible that part 4 hasn't been cracked because we just missed something. We may have been misdirected in some way. Sometimes Sanborn is asked the same question by multiple people and he'll give slightly different answers to each one. And it's also possible that he just messed it up, that it's not solvable. However, I have met both Sanborn and Ed Scheidt, And I was at dinner with Ed Scheidt once, and I was pressuring him. I was saying, all right, are you sure it's done right? I mean, how do you know it's solvable? How do you know that Sanborn didn't just mess something up? And Scheidt, he leaned forward and he said, I'm sure it's done right. Okay, so, you know, in the PBS show, they said, Scheidt doesn't know the answer. I'm like, I think Scheidt does know the answer. But then again, he's a trained CIA operative. You know, he was not doing administrative work. He was out in the field. So if it came down to something between me pressuring Scheidt or him manipulating me, I'm probably going to lose. Well, that was my one visit to Kryptos there. There's also a fountain here, or it's a pool, and there's a jet that's pushing the water in a circular direction. There are these two stones. It's interesting that this is kind of a white quartz rock. It's different from the kind of rock that Sanborn normally uses. I've talked to members of Sanborn's extended family and asked them if they had any light to shed on what Sanborn had done, and they'd said they'd known him since he was a kid, and one thing they knew about him is that if he put a rock somewhere, he meant for it to be there. He meant for it to be exactly in that location. I mean, that's the kind of detail-oriented guy that he is. So, the latitude and longitude. The 6.5 degrees north is of interest to anyone that's done geocaching or has played with GPSs, because you know that a tenth of a second of latitude is a very specific location, about 10 feet across. And so some people thought it pointed to the location of the crypto sculpture. However, it actually points about 150 feet southeast of the sculpture in this courtyard area. Sanborn design pieces here. As some context, this is the original headquarters building of the CIA. This is the new headquarters building. So when they commissioned the new headquarters building, they also commissioned art to go around the building. And that's how Sanborn started working on cryptos. So he designed several things in this courtyard, and he also designed some pieces here outside the front entrance. This white building with the oddly shaped roof, this is the cafeteria. So there's a line of windows here that you can't see in this picture, where the employees, as they're eating, can look out the windows and see this courtyard area and see the crypto sculpture. Here's another picture here. So again, we have the cafeteria, where the line of windows would be here. Kryptos is this squiggle right here. Sanborn designed Kryptos. He designed this entire semicircular area. There's a duck pond here, some granite slabs. So we have kind of a line where the slabs are in line with the crypto sculpture. He also designed here three granite slabs, 1, 2, and 3, which are in that same kind of orientation. These are large slabs that are tilted up out of the ground, sort of like a geologic seam. The slabs are about a foot thick with sheets of copper in between the slabs with Morse code messages in the copper. We've seen all of them. We know what the Morse code messages say. We think we've tied in a way where one of the Morse code messages may tie in to part two as a way of getting the key to part two. This is another angle. So again, we have the cafeteria, Kryptos is here, the courtyard with the duck pond and the slabs. We think the latitude and longitude points are right about there. And again, we have the slabs here. So we have one group one, group two, and then there's a third slab here. There's no Morse code messages on this one. It's just like a slab that's set right into the grassy area. Also, this one also has an engraved compass on it, which is pointing at a small lodestone. Here we have some close-ups here of the slabs. You can see the sheets of copper, the Morse code messages. One of the messages says, T is your position. And we were wondering if it said, T is your position, because the rest of the word was, what is your position? That we just couldn't see the Morse code between the slabs. And I checked with Sanborn, and he confirmed that the Morse code goes all the way in between the slabs, but there's no way for us to see it. He did say that each day after he was installing this stuff at CIA, that at the end of the day, the CIA would send out people with powerful neutron scanners that would scan everything he did, checking to make sure that he hadn't put like a bug or anything in CIA grounds. We've been trying to file a Freedom of Information Act to try and get copies. And what we get back is they'll write back and say, we've been unable to locate these records, which gets some of the paranoid people in my group saying, oh, it's a big cover-up. I'm like, no, they probably just lost the records. but we're still true. We're coming at it through so many different angles. And then here's the compass rose. This is the only photograph in existence, to my knowledge, of it. This was taken by Jim Galogli after he'd solved in 1999. He was able to get on site to CIA and actually take some photographs. I'm trying to get back onto CIA grounds because I've got a really cool talk about Kryptos that I could give, and so maybe I can get there, and maybe I'll be able to get some more information that way. Okay. And here's just where I'm I have things sort of outlined. So again, we have cryptos, we have the slabs here in the duck pond, and then the triangle block, the slabs there. We think the coordinates point to right there. And the red is, I think it's the plus or minus, saying it's there or it's within this range. And kind of just showing how the different angles are going. I think there is one mistake on this. I think we have the direction of the needle off, but the rest of it gives you the idea. Okay, and I told you about this, about how these letters are out of alignment. There's a rubbing showing how the Y is offset. It's actually a grouping of five. So the D, John Wilson was one of the people that pointed this out, how the D and the R are not just up and down, but they're actually, the D is pushed in and the R is pushed in. So we have this group of five letters with where three have been raised. We've looked YAR. We know that RAI, RAY could be Ray. We've looked at like pitch and yaw and roll and Hardy Boys and a lot of different ways we've looked at it. Something else that's been noticed is that on the visionaire tableau side, where each one of these lines should end with a letter that's in the order of the cipher alphabet. The cipher alphabet being cryptos, A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, L, M, N. So E, F, G, H, I, L, L. So this line should end with the letter J, but it ends with the letter L, meaning there's two lines that both end with the letter L. And as an interesting thing, this line where that has this extra L is the same line where on the other side of the sculpture we have those out of alignment letters. So it may be significant. It may be something that Sanborn did as an artist trying to draw the eyes to that line for some reason. And this ties into something that John Wilson discovered at the Cyrillic projector, is that this also used a visionaire technique. And it was a two-keyword system. One of the keys is visible on the wall. If you're observant and you look, we have all these Cyrillic letters, and then we have the word Medusa, which some of these letters are not reproducible in Cyrillic. The letters are different. The keyword wasn't actually Medusa. It was a Cyrillic version. I can get into the mythology. In English, Medusa means the mythological character. However, if you say Medusa in Russian, they're actually referring to the jellyfish. And if you want to refer to the mythological character, you need to say Gorgona. But the actual key word for one of the keywords was the word Medusa in Cyrillic. So we have this big clue right here in projections. Now, where is this word on the sculpture? It's on the third row up from the bottom. In the middle of that plate. So if you look at it during the day, again, we can't see it here, but it would be on this row. And if you look at this, if you look at the sculpture and you look at the seam, right on that row, in between the two bolts, there's an extra bolt. And it's kind of hard to see if you look at it from the outside, but if you look at it from the inside of the sculpture, it's really obvious. And it's the only bolt like that on the entire sculpture. So it's possible that Sanborn may have done this as a way of drawing people's eyes to that line. I've shown this to Sanborn. I've asked him about it. He looked at it and he said, oh, the plates were coming apart and I just wanted to add another bolt to strengthen the whole thing, which might be true or it might be part of that misdirection. Okay. So I've also talked to Ed Scheidt about why isn't part four solved yet. One of the things he said, as he repeated also to the PBS folks, is that he did things to mask. He's used that word mask many, many times. He masked the English in part four. He also told me that he used a little bit of stego, a little bit of steganography in part four. He also said, and this was early on, one of the first conversations I had with him, was that we solved the first three parts, but without recovering the keys first. And he said if we can recover the keys, then the rest of it becomes easier. Not sure what that means. The part one used the keys of cryptos and palimpsest, and we have not found anywhere that the word palimpsest is recoverable, not in the Morse code, not on the sculpture, maybe by the fact that the sculpture sort of looks like a scroll, maybe, but that's really kind of reaching it. So there might be something that's, maybe the way the letters are carved, maybe some of them are carved rougher and others are smoother, so rough, smooth, smooth. Maybe there's a binary message there. Maybe there's a Morse code message there. We don't know. We can't get at it to see it. But Scheidt has confirmed that part four, the answer will be in English, and that it does use all of the letters of part four. Well, Al, he's implied different things. When the cameras are not rolling, I have gotten the strong impression that Scheidt knows what it says. So. if I had taught someone a code system and it became a world famous code that had been not been cracked for 10 years, I'd be working on it. I'd want to know, I'd want to make sure they hadn't screwed it up. Because if they did screw it up, it would be reflecting badly on me. But I'm not a CIA operative. So, so Sanborn's made many other pieces. He has over 100 pieces around the world. Some of them are encrypted. We're trying to get pictures of all of them as well and crack them. Some of them are hanging in different restaurants. Some of them are hanging in private homes. Some have sections in binary. Outside the Internal Revenue Service Center, he has a section that uses 7-bit ASCII code. He also tends to reuse things. So he has 3 sculptures that use quotes from Adam Smith, 3 that have engraved compasses. And yes, we've tracked them down to see where all the compasses point, to see if there's some intersecting point. One is called Hidden Under the 3 Events. So he likes that number 3. This bench is outside the Internal Revenue Service Center in Martinsburg, West Virginia. This sculpture is at the University of Connecticut. So here's some of that 7-bit binary that he uses. When we decrypted this, I believe it came out to be a quote by Adam Smith, the economist. And this was a phase of Sanborn's where he was going out into Arizona and New Mexico, and this is not computer art. What he did is he beamed a square of light onto a mountain for a few hours and did a time-lapse photograph. So you can actually see the star trails here in the background. So the name of this particular piece is Implied Geometry. And he did dozens and dozens of pieces like this, photos like this all over the world. And this is also what I mentioned, the Zola Spy Restaurant. This is next door to the International Spy Museum in Washington, D.C. Anyone who hasn't been there, go. It's a cool, cool museum. And Sanborn designed several pieces around the spy restaurant. Behind the wall here, you can see very faintly, there's a stairway here. And on the back wall of the stairway is a projection with more binary code in the restaurant. There's also metallic plates, which are in Russian, which describe, when we had those translated, they were instructions about how to find what's called dead drops in various places during the Cold War. A dead drop is where, say there might be a park bench somewhere that periodically someone goes and they hides a little piece of film in a crack of the bench, and then they walk away. And maybe a couple days later or an hour later, someone else will come through and get the film and go on. So there's never any direct contact between the two people, but it's a prearranged place where they can leave some sort of a message or film or something like that. So these documents are all in English, Russian, and French. One of these documents is the source document that was used for the Cyrillic projector, the classified document that part of it was taken for the projector. So it's possible that if the source document for the Cyrillic projector is there, that there might be a source document for Kryptos here as well. We don't know. We're trying to get detailed pictures of all of the different letters. Some of them are about 10 or 12 feet off the ground, and it's right next to the waiter station. So we get there with cameras, we get chased out by the waiters, and then we go in and we try to take more pictures. So. Okay, so Kryptos and pop culture. Here I'm going to talk a little bit about Da Vinci Code. Hidden in the artwork of the book jacket of the Da Vinci Code, there are 5 puzzles that Dan Brown put there. These are giving clues to the subject of his next book. And he did this before. For example, with his book, I think it was Deception Point, he put an encrypted message at the end of it, and if you decrypted it, it said the Da Vinci Code will surface. So of these 5 puzzles, 2 of them refer to Kryptos. And so we think that the next book by Brown is going to be, it's going to take place in Washington, D.C., that it's going to be about the secret society of the Freemasons, and that the working title for it is Solomon Key, the Solomon Key. So the 2 parts that refer to Kryptos, one here on this dark chair here, very faintly, are the words only WW knows. So that's a reference to part 2 of Kryptos. WW, by the way, is Sanborn has confirmed, because Brown was going ballistic with this stuff. Brown was asked on Good Morning America what WW stands for, and he says, well, I think it's upside down MM, and it stands for Mary Magdalene. At which point Sanborn went public and said no. What it really means is it stands for William Webster, who was the director of the CIA at the time that the sculpture was installed. So. Also, very faintly here, light red on dark red, I don't know if you can see it in here, but we have the latitude and longitude coordinates also from part 2, except that one number is different. On Kryptos, it's 38 degrees. On Da Vinci Code, it's 37 degrees. I've talked to Dan Brown about that, and he says, he'll only say, the discrepancy is intentional. Okay. I talked to his publisher, and because I was talking about something of, you know, did I have permission to do this or that? And I asked his publisher, by the way, did you know that it says 37? It should say 38. And the publisher said, the discrepancy is intentional. So they're very coordinated on this. So this is one of my favorite. One of the people in my group, he made a simple 3D model of Kryptos just so he could import it into a Half-Life engine and then take a crowbar to it and shatter it into 1,000 pieces. So, summary. Kryptos has four sections of code. Three of the four have been solved. Fourth hasn't been solved yet. One of the world's most famous unsolved codes. I put it on my list at about number five or so. Why hasn't part four been solved yet? Well, it's short. It may have been screwed up. It may have a clue that's on CIA grounds, and we may have been misdirected in some bizarre way. Maybe it's not English. Maybe it's French. I don't know. There may be some misdirection there. However, both Sanborn and Scheidt have said that it is solvable. It's not just random text. And my goal, people ask me if I want to be the one to solve part four, and I say, no, it doesn't have to be me that solves it. I want to see it solved, so it's off my plate, so I can go on to other things. It's really kind of taken over my life for a few years. So, and anyone that wants to join the group, come on in. We have a Yahoo group. All you have to do is send an email to kryptos-subscribe@yahoogroups.com. I want people from all walks of life. You don't have to be a code expert, because I believe it's going to be someone with an idea from out of left field that's finally going to get part four cracked. It could be a child, it could be a gardener, it could be an interior decorator. Someone who's looking at things from a completely different angle may come up with that idea that helps us crack it. We are trying to make some really good 3D models of it. So anyone that has 3D model experience, we want to make a model where we can have, like, show the way the sun moves around, see the way the shadows move. Maybe we'll get some sort of a clue there. And if anyone here works at CIA, or knows anyone who works at CIA, or knows someone who works at CIA, we'd love to get, like, more exact measurements of things. We'd like to get a better picture of that compass rose. Go in and look at the letters, see if there's, you know, maybe font, the serifs are different on the font or something, but we really want more close-up observations. This is one of the 3D models that we have so far. This was made by Jay out of St. Louis. And it's a tricky thing, because you have to know. Well, and he asked me things like, well, how wide is the plate? I don't know. And he says, well, how many millimeters is this? I'm like, I don't know. I mean, it's like we're looking through this long tube and then trying to make a 3D model of something we can barely see. So, for more information, I recommend joining our discussion group. I also just set up a wiki, a Kryptos wiki, using MediaWiki software. So we're trying to build a knowledge tree. So if anyone has experience building knowledge trees, that would be really, really helpful. There's my website, elonka.com/kryptos. It used to be that you could just go to Google and type in Kryptos, and my site would be the number one link. I was recently passed by the Wikipedia article on Kryptos. Yes, it does. So sometimes it's a fight because they yell conflict of interest. Using the wiki scanner, yeah. By the way, I don't know if it's been announced. Wiki scanner was written by Virgil Griffith from Southeast 2600. He's one of our peeps as well. So I don't think he came to DragonCon, but go Virgil. We'll have a drink for him later at the hacking panels. He is. So, and I do have a small amount of information about Kryptos in my book. I have the plain text, though it was, like I said, right after my book came out that Sanborn announced that there was an error in part two, so it immediately made my book out of date. But if anyone wants a copy of my book, I'd be happy to autograph there. So, questions? Anybody? Yes?
How does Sanborn get the CIA here?
Sanborn...
And is that important?
Okay. The question is, how did Sanborn get the CIA gig? And I think it's very possibly important. The Sanborn had done large public art projects around the Washington, D.C. Area. And it's actually interesting that Sanborn makes a distinction in his work, that he sees it in two parts. He has what he calls his work on the public art projects, and then he has what he calls his gallery work, his gallery installations. And to me, it's like, yeah, it's all art. But to him, it's a very, very important distinction. And when I was working on a list of everything that Sanborn had ever done, he called me up, and I didn't even know about that, but he called me up. He wanted me to make sure to separate his art from the public art and the private. He sees his public art as kind of what pays the bills. And the private art is what really gives him status as an artist. So it's kind of ironic to him that Kryptos, this pay the bill piece of artwork, is really what he's most famous for at this point. Now, I did a lot of research on how he got the gig. The new headquarters building, which was commissioned in 1988, and then they put out the word to the public art community. I actually found the newsletter where they put the word out saying, we want art. And it's a zoning thing in many cities that when someone is building any kind of a structure, that they get a tax break if they have art around the building. And so these buildings will just, they'll just say, give us, and they don't even care what the art is, which is why sometimes you'll see art and go, how the hell paid for that? Well, now you know, because they just wanted art. And he'd actually done some major pieces, like he did the outside of the NOAA, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration. They have this thing where it's a fountain where there's a wave machine going back and forth, and Sanborn designed that. The original intent was that it was going to be connected via modem to a wave sensor off the coast of the ocean, so that as the waves were coming in, they were supposed to be replicated identically outside. They never got it to work, but it was a really cool idea. And so he did these kinds of pieces, and then when the CIA put their word out, he raised his hand and said, I'll do it. And he knew how to do that whole kind of paperwork thing. He knew the bureaucracy involved. And I went in, and I actually went into the belly of the beast, the GSA, the General Services Administration, and I actually looked at the folders. They had a big, thick folder on cryptos, and I spent the better part of a couple days there going through the paper, and it was insane. It was like, we are going to have art. Okay, we need to decide who the artist is going to be. We need to form a committee to decide who the artists are going to be. Now, who's going to be on that committee? Well, we need to form a committee to decide who's going to be on the committee. I'm not making this up. That's what it was. And so I was going through letter after letter of their letter to the, will you be on the pre-committee to be the main committee? And, you know, people sending back saying, yes, I agree to be on the committee. And it was just so much. And I was looking through the stuff because anytime the project was behind schedule, Sanborn needed to send a letter describing why the project was behind schedule. So I was looking for anything from Sanborn, and I did find a letter where he was explaining about why he was behind schedule, and this granite had disappeared from this truck, and he apologizes, and what his intent was in terms of the codes. His original intent was that he was going to have the codes get progressively more difficult as you walked into the CIA. So it was supposed to start with Morse code and then get harder and harder and harder. However, that's something that he didn't, according to Sanborn, that he didn't actually do. Another thing he was going to do is he was going to say that part of Kryptos was going to be written in conjunction with a prominent fiction writer. However, again, that's something that never actually happened. Though occasionally you'll go around and you'll see, in fact, on the CIA website, there are mistakes. They recently redid their section of the Kryptos, the Kryptos section of the website. They've got an error in their transcript of the sculpture, and they have bad information about this thing with the prominent fiction writer, which demoralizes me greatly, because this is the Central Intelligence Agency, and here is a sculpture in the middle of the CIA in the United States, and if they can't even get the information right on something that's in the outside their cafeteria, how can I trust something they're sending in from Iraq, okay? So, sorry, very slash vent, okay. So another interesting thing I found in the GSA files was the instructions from Sanborn to the gardeners about how to maintain the sculpture. And so I was very interested in that to see if there was something in there like, make sure to mow around the secret panel. But there was nothing like that. There was nothing about when you drain the fountain, clean the bronze plaque with the keyword. There wasn't anything like that, but I did look. Okay.
I was at the International Spy Museum a couple of weeks ago, which made me think of a question on solving this. Do you think he could have encoded it with some kind of historical device like the old Enigma machine or something like that? Has anybody gone down that path?
Excellent question, and that was actually an angle that I was looking at, and I think I've got a slide here that I can show you. With Enigma, it would be very, very tricky to do because Enigma, there were so many different configurations of it. How many rotors were there going to be? What would the jumper cable settings be? And so even on the web, if someone said, I encrypted it with Enigma, there's so many different combinations that it would be very, very difficult to decrypt something unless there was some other key about use 5 jumper cables, set them between these numbers, use 2 rotors, set in this position, and then the key is going to be, so that's why I personally doubt that it's going to be Enigma. However, another historical system that I did see at the Spy Museum was this one, which was actually something that was used by Thomas Jefferson. So it's an early American code system, so it would make sense for this to be used on Kryptos, and this was something I was putting some research into, especially if you look at Kryptos, and it is so, if you took this half off and then moved it to the left, you would end up with basically a cylinder standing on end, so it would make sense, and with all these lines of text, that each one might be a different disk of the wheel cipher. But again, there's many different permutations of it, but it is something that I've played with, and it may turn out to be the answer. Sanborn has said that there's a big clue on Kryptos that we've all missed. Whatever that means. All right. Who has the microphone? I should probably... It is up to Rob.
I'm getting older.
How did you find out that there was 4 sections to it? Was that announced, or is that something you had to figure out?
That there's 4 codes. When Jim Gologli announced the first 3 parts had been solved, and then all that left was basically 3.5 lines down at the very bottom of the sculpture. So it's possible that there's 2 codes there and not just 1, so it might be 5 codes. But when we've talked to Sanborn and Scheidt, the impression I've got is that there's that 1 remaining part to be solved.
Are there any other misspellings in some of his other works?
Are there any misspellings? Yes. Yes. For example, John Wilson here, he cracked one of the codes that was... he cracked one of the codes that John Wilson has cracked. We're hanging these large pulped pieces that were hanging in the spy restaurant. Okay. All right. But we have seen some differences. In the Zola Spy Restaurant, that came out also to be an extract from Howard Carter, but some of the wording was slightly different. Okay, so not so much mistakes as differences in text. As I recall, instead of the remains of passage debris was removed, it says the remains of passage debris were removed, and other slight differences. Now, in terms of actual spelling errors, someone should give a microphone to John, and he can probably answer this in more detail than I can.
Never get away.
Well, in the covert operations fragments, the 2 that you're talking about, the English ones, there's also an Arabic one. In the English ones, there are spelling mistakes in the code. The code system is very similar. It uses the words kryptos, and one uses the word deceit, and one uses kryptos and shadow.
I don't have a picture of those pieces here. Sorry, I was just looking, but not in this particular presentation.
My question is, what hypothesis do you guys have regarding the misspellings that we were just talking about on the crypto statue, the misspelled, I forget what the letters were, but
occlusion,
you know,
and
like you said, there was the importance was the position.
Right.
What guesses do you have so far?
It's possible that it may have to do with that Jefferson cipher cylinder. Maybe it means that those letters need to be lined up in the disks. It could be that we need to draw a line between them. Just lots of different theories. I mean, if you have theories that we haven't come up with, join my group. Come on in. Throw them into the pot. I tell people, and one common misconception is when people join the group, they think that they can come in and they can say, I think Kryptos looks like a clock, and they think that we're all just going to jump on it like ravening wolves and immediately work on it. But generally, it's a quieter thing than that. So it's more often like someone writes a little thing on a piece of paper and kind of puts it into the idea jar, which is going to accumulate, and then maybe once a year someone's going to go through the idea jar. We do read everything that everybody sends, but it doesn't mean that we're going to be putting a lot of work into it. Usually people are kind of working on their own theories. But that's one of the things I'm trying to do with the wiki, is make it easier so you can see what has been suggested, and if something hasn't been suggested, add something to the end of the page. Open source hacking, there it is. Yeah. Did that answer your question?
Yeah.
Okay.
You said Kryptos was like number 5 on your list?
Mm-hmm.
What's 1 through 4?
Ah. Okay.
That's for another panel.
There we go. Number one on my list is the Beale Ciphers, which is a pamphlet that was published in 1885 in Bedford, Virginia, that supposedly had three encrypted messages, one of which was cracked, which said there is a large treasure of gold and gems buried nearby, and the location is in one of the other encrypted messages. And in my belief, it's never going to be cracked. The first one that was cracked with the Declaration of Independence. It was a book cipher, so it was a series of numbers where each number corresponded to that word in the Declaration of Independence, and you took the first letter of that word, and then you got a message that way. I believe that it was basically an urban legend, 1880s style. I think someone came up with a way to sell pamphlets and saying, there's treasure near here. And there have been lots of people showing up at Bedford. There's been holes dug all around the surrounding countryside. And a lot of work has gone into those other two messages. Jim Gologli has actually pretty well debunked it because he ran a statistical analysis on the other two unencrypted messages and showed that some of them, one of them, if you ran a certain decryption on it, you actually got the alphabet. It was like A, A, B, C, D, E, F, G, G, G. Like somebody had just gotten really bored just kind of going through and doing the entire alphabet that way. But it may be solvable. So that's the Beale Ciphers. The Voynich manuscript is at least 400 years old. It is it's a beautiful calligraphy manuscript that was sold to Emperor Rudolf II as a curiosity, and it's letters that are unlike anything in existence. There, it's not a known language, it's not a known alphabet. There's pictures of plants and that are unlike any plants in existence. So it's either something like from E.T. or it. What I believe is that Emperor Rudolf was known to shell out large amounts of gold for curiosities. And I think somebody gave him exactly what he wanted, a really interesting curiosity that is unsolvable. Then there's the Dorabella cipher, which I think will be solved. This was by Edward Elgar, the composer who composed Pomp and Circumstance fame. And he wrote a little message on the back, I think the back of an envelope, to a young woman, a 23-year-old Miss Dora Penny, who was not a cryptographer, who had really no code experience. And it was never solved. It looks like a simple substitution cipher. How are we doing on time? I mean, I can pull up graphics on some of these. Okay. No.
6:40. Okay. So you got 20 minutes.
Yeah. After I can pull up pictures later, and I have pictures of all these on my website, or links to these as well. Number four, I had the Zodiac Killer, the serial killer who left, who sent encrypted messages to newspapers saying these give clues to my identity. And then Kryptos, which I put at number five when I made this list a few years ago. It may have crawled up the list a bit, but I'm not sure I'm the best person to really say where it is, so I generally just say it's in the top five. Any other questions? The Kryptos, the movie. You know anybody at a studio? we'd have to come up with some sort of a romance, like a Titanic thing. Okay. All right. Okay, then I think we're good. Thank you all very much for coming.